Hey everyone, before we dive into today's episode, I just wanted to share a quick update. So after some thought, Brandon has decided to step away from the podcast to focus on his own personal projects and other things that he is investing his time in. I know that everyone appreciated his voice and perspective every week, and I'm grateful for the time that we had together as co-hosts. Well, things are going to sound a little bit different going forward. The heart of the podcast remains the same. I'll always be here with new episodes and having meaningful conversations, and I hope you'll stick with me for this next chapter. Okay, so it's been a while since an episode was put out last. The last episode of season one was actually put out on the same exact day that I had my surgery. I had my third surgery for endometriosis, and after that, I spent some time recovering, and then I transitioned into a second job, and so things have been a little bit crazy on my end. So I do want to give a couple of updates on that side of things and kind of where I stand today. Also, for context, this episode is going to be a little bit different, kind of more improv, free flow, update, conversational type of storytelling. And then, you know, throughout the season, I'm going to go back to more scripted, research-based topics. I do have everything kind of planned out that I want to talk about. Some of those topics, including PMDD, sexuality, person first versus identity first language, pathological demand avoidance, among other things. I do want to talk about autistic people having higher rates of chronic physical health conditions. There was a study conducted by researchers at the University of Cambridge. They studied about 1,200 autistic people and about 1,200 non-autistic people ages 16 to 90. The survey assessed risk of 60 physical health conditions across 9 different organ systems. And ultimately, the team found that autistic people were more likely to have a diagnosed medical condition across all 9 organ systems compared to non-autistic people. Regarding specific conditions, autistic people had higher rates of 33 specific conditions compared to non-autistic peers. And some of these conditions included celiac disease, gallbladder disease, endometriosis, syncope, aka fainting or passing out, vertigo, urinary incontinence, eczema, and iron deficiency anemia. And this is one of the first studies to show that Ehlers-Danlos syndrome may be more common among autistic women than non-autistic women. I just wanted to bring that up because it is something that I wish, you know, was studied further, and we're going to need, you know, more research as we move forward. But I do notice and see that a lot of these conditions often do co-occur with neurodivergence. And as a part of my update, the second job that I started, it is specifically working with autistic adults. And I do notice that a lot of my clients do have co-occurring physical health conditions, oftentimes, you know, along the lines of POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, endometriosis, PCOS, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. And I do really wish that once you get a diagnosis of autism, that there was backing on the medical side of things to kind of be like, okay, this is your diagnosis, and these are the genetic tests that you should have completed, and these are the things that we should be looking for and ruling out and treating. Because I think so many of us go years, decades without being properly diagnosed with things that are very common alongside neurodivergence. I know for myself too, along with undergoing my surgery for endometriosis, I also started seeing a new cardiologist within the past year. And now this is something I've been suspecting for, I would say, 8 years. We knew that I had POTS, like I said, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. that's been well known. I knew before the doctors knew, like a decade ago, but I've been suspecting that I have a subtype called hyperadrenergic POTS. And what that does is your norepinephrine levels are elevated, and you don't really have control over that. And so what this can look like, anxiety, it could look like panic attacks, but it's very physiologically based. And so you could have sweating, shaking, increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, nausea, a rush of adrenaline. I remember very vividly at one point in time when I was super sick a couple years ago, I had woken up in the middle of the night and it honestly felt like a bear was chasing me. I just woke up in a panic, cold sweat, shaking. I honestly felt like I was gonna die. I got up out of bed and I went to the bathroom. I thought I was going to throw up. I took my blood pressure and it was like 150 over 110. And my heart rate was like 140. And this is just out of a dead sleep. So I have been going through a lot of figuring things out on the physical side, on the mental side of things. I've been going through a lot of changes and soul searching and advocating for myself and really trying to nail down what is going on in my body and in my mind. And so throughout my break, I was also diagnosed with ADHD. Not a surprise to me, probably not a surprise to anybody that knows me. I was also diagnosed with PMDD, which I plan to talk about in another episode of mine, because PMDD commonly co-occurs in neurodivergent women more than neurotypical women. And so I would like to talk about that further. And there is a connection with another physical piece of things, histamine intolerance, mast cell activation syndrome. I will elaborate on that further at another point in time as well. But yeah, there's been a lot going on in my life and a lot of changes over the past couple of months. And, you know, the autistic ADHD, like, battle and contrast, right? Like, I was, you know, recording the podcast episodes for months, right? And I was editing and I had a good rhythm going. And then after my surgery and change, right? Starting a new job threw me off of my track and my schedule. And it was really hard for me to get back into things. I'm also recording in a new area. I'm recording from home this time versus going into work and recording. And then, you know, more changes just keep happening, right? Like, I am going to be going to another group private practice. So constant influx of changes happening right now, and so it's taken me a little bit to find my footing again, but I do really want to get back into this because I feel like there is a lot that I want to say. So yeah, I hope you guys will stick around. I hope you enjoy the nerdy things that I have to say, and you know, the medical and physical connection of things too. Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit more about change, struggling with change, right? You know, struggling with change, but at the same time needing novelty. So like I said, you know, I had surgery. That was a very great experience. I went out of the area for my care. I went into it thinking the surgery is going to be much more extensive than it actually was. That was a positive. I was really happy with my care. Recovery was pretty okay. I did end up having an allergic reaction to the surgical glue, which was not a fun time, and I had to peel it off on Christmas Eve when I wasn't even a week post-op, so I was not supposed to be taking it off, but I had to. I took too much Benadryl. I came to realize that artificial dyes make me feel like I'm going to die, and so that was a little bit of hiccup. But going back to the struggle with change, right? Like, I think that the surgery put me into a really dark place emotionally. Anybody that struggles with endometriosis knows this. Like, you can have all the surgeries in the world, but it'll just keep growing and coming back. There is no cure for endometriosis, and surgery is really kind of like a barrier for a short amount of time. And that time is undeterminable. Some people need surgery 6 months later. Some people need surgery 6 years later. For me, at the pace that I'm going, it seems like I need surgery every like 5 years. Maybe a little less than that. But that is like hard to contend with, right? Like I've had endometriosis for over a decade. I know what it is like and I know how much of a struggle it is. But to actually hear it and go through it and realize like this is something I have to do for the rest of my life is really hard. And for some people, symptoms of endometriosis persist past menopause. So it's not even really like there's a light at the end of the tunnel once you hit menopause. And so for me, I got depressed and I wasn't working, and I am somebody that needs to be working. I need to, you know, be distracted and be outside of my head. And I didn't have that. And Christmas time, oh my gosh, I had surgery right before Christmas, and Christmas time is my favorite time of year, and I was miserable. So that sucked. And then, like I said, I started a second job, so I recovered for 4 weeks, started a new job, and I never did well with starting new things. Starting a new semester of school, transition from middle school to high school to college to grad school. I never really adjusted to things until I was like years in. And so I knew that this was going to be a big undertaking, and I was constantly doubting myself. I was crying basically every day. I was like, I don't know, should I do this? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have the capacity. But it's kind of funny how things work out, because I wasn't looking for this job. This job found me, which was really cool because I was, you know, kind of manifesting it. I set the intention of I want to focus on working with neurodivergent adults. And a couple days later, a recruiter reached out to me, and then everything fell into place. But I knew that it was going to be hard. I just didn't know how hard. And I think for me, what helps me going through change is that recognition that, okay, historically I struggle with this, and it's going to take me some time to come into myself, to figure things out, to feel comfortable. And so instead of like beating myself up, and of course I still doubted myself, but I wasn't hard on myself for it. I kind of just accepted that that was part of my process. And so here I am, 7 months in. I feel like I'm adjusted pretty well. I don't really have negative feelings anymore, which is great, but it took me a while. Took me probably 3 or 4 months to feel okay. And again, it comes with a lot of meltdowns. And I think that that is what I want to, you know, highlight in this episode, is just like kind of going against that, oh, well, you don't look autistic. Well, yeah, you only see what I show you. And so you don't see me inside of my house. You don't see me starting new things. You don't see me after work. You don't see me at my most vulnerable. And that's what I want to do on this podcast, and specifically this season, is to be more vulnerable and talk more from a personal experience lens. I think that that is super necessary and helpful to even just one or two people. I'm not trying to move mountains with my podcast, but I just want to make sure that people know that they're not alone and know that these things do happen, and, you know, that there's support and community and people that understand. But something I also want to highlight on this episode, so I talked about change being difficult. I want to talk about overstimulation. So this past weekend, my husband and I last minute decided to go to a concert in New Jersey. The way that it happened, I knew it was probably going to be really hard. I didn't know if it was possible, honestly, because I feel like I've gotten really good at noting my limitations and honoring those limitations. Let me preface this by saying we got the tickets on like Wednesday, I think, and the concert was for Saturday. Friday, we both had taken off work because I had a 7-month follow-up since my surgery in Hershey. I get very car sick, so I do all the driving anytime we go far places. I knew that there was going to be a lot of driving this weekend, going to that appointment, coming back home, going back out to New Jersey, coming back home again. And so the way that I had planned this weekend was shifting. And I don't do well with change, right? I was like, okay, but I really love this artist that we're going to see, Rufus Du Sol. I don't know if anybody knows them that's listening. I want to try. So we do that. Saturday, I go to Reiki in the morning. Reiki has been amazing. I do want to talk more about that too. I'm going to write that down right now because I did not think that I would bring that up, but here I am bringing it up. It's amazing. And it has been so helpful to me. I have been in therapy for a long time and dealing with a lot of trauma, and this has healed me in ways that I didn't even know were possible. And I've kind of made connections that I didn't even know existed. And it's been super, super helpful for me mentally, physically, all of the above. And then I came back home, packed, got ready, and then we left for New Jersey. I am proud of myself for doing all of these things. I'm a very homebody type of person. I don't like being in the car. I don't like traveling alone. I don't like staying places I'm not familiar with. I don't like going to places I'm not familiar with. So driving in New Jersey, I did great. I used to be super overwhelmed by New Jersey drivers, but I handled it well. So we get to the hotel, super nice, everything's great. Jose had been seeing on social media that the night before was a disaster. It was just super unorganized. It was taking hours to get into the venue. And so he was like, we should go early. And I was like, okay. So we leave around 7 o'clock. We get there around 7:30. We park. We walk over, we get in really quickly. I'm prepared as I can be. I'm wearing super cool clothes. I have my loop earplugs. I have a neck fan on because I have hyperpots and I'm very sensitive to the heat, and it's July. It was 85 degrees out, but it was dropping as we were there. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll be fine. We get in and we're sitting in our seats. Things seem to be okay. I was like, all right, maybe I will get through this. I won't pass out. I won't get so anxious I'll have a panic attack. I think I'll be okay. But then people just kept pouring in, and the lines to the bathroom were so long. And then people in our row got filled up, and then I felt kind of like trapped, and we were very close together. So the opener started and came out, and this was hard. I was not familiar with the opener. I did not come to see the opener. I did not care to see the opener. Oh, I wish I could go back in time because I would have gone into the venue way later. This opener was playing music that I honestly hate, and for a very long time. It was like an hour long set. And I had my earplugs in. I was increasingly getting agitated. I was talking to Jose, telling him how agitated I was, which I'm sure was not enjoyable for him. And he was super supportive through this whole fiasco. So finally, the opener is done. People are vaping all around me. I don't care what you do, but like the things that people do impact other people, and people don't think about that. And it's like, I'm super sensitive to chemicals. And so I was like, oh, this is gonna trigger me. I'm gonna get a headache. I'm gonna get a migraine. I'm gonna get nauseous. And I was just getting super antsy. I was getting hot because of all the bodies again. I was like, this is just not gonna be good for me. And then I really had to use the bathroom because I was drinking a lot of water to try to not pass out. So we get out of our seats and try to find a bathroom. There is no bathroom available in sight. The lines are super long still. I, at this point, was extremely annoyed. I was like, how can I not go to the bathroom when I want to go to the bathroom? And I understand waiting like 10, 15 minutes, not 30, 40 minutes. And so I just felt super panicked, and it was like 9 o'clock at this point, and the main artist still was not on. And Jose was like, do you want to leave? And I was like, no, I don't want to leave. But I was like crying and melting down. And I just felt like I needed to flee. Like I didn't want to leave. I put all this effort in to go to get here. And I want to see this artist, but I want to flee at the same time. It's like completely unexplainable and uncontrollable unless you go through it and know it yourself. And we eventually left. It was just super disappointing, right? Because as a chronically ill person with POTS, interstitial cystitis, those two things are not great for concerts when you're outside in the July heat and there's no access to bathrooms. I knew it was going to be overstimulating, overwhelming with the sound. And it's like I could have handled certain things like not going right or disappointing me or agitating me. But it's like add up all of these things. The burden is just too much. And like my brain just shuts down and there's really no coming back from that. Like I think that if I did stay, I would have been so miserable. Like I would not have enjoyed anything. So there was really no winning other than leaving. And again, Jose was super kind and understanding and supportive. And it's like, it sucks for him that he couldn't go see the show that he paid for, but he was just so supportive. And I really appreciate that aspect. But then I get home. Well, not home. I'm sorry. I get to the hotel and I'm sad, right? Like I'm so upset. It's like after I got to the bathroom at the hotel, I just sat there so sad. I was like, it's moments like this where you realize like I am disabled. I do have a disability. I have multiple disabilities, in my opinion. People identify differently how they want with certain conditions. I identify as disabled. I have a lot of conditions that are disabling. I have autism and it is disabling, and people don't see moments like this, and I don't often put myself in moments like this because I know how I am. But I wanted to try to challenge myself, and this time it just didn't work out, and I've kind of come to accept that. But something I came across on Reddit was really amazing and interesting by a Redditor, Tyrannosamus Rex. Her name is Sam. And she put together this infographic on stages of overstimulation. And I thought it was really great. And I want to talk about that and go through the different stages. She created 6 stages. First one is neuroawareness. And so this consists of heightened awareness of senses. Stimuli feels more intense. Muscle tension with minimal or no pain. No loss of executive functioning. Stage 2 is neuroirritation. So you're feeling agitated, stimuli is becoming annoying, you're expressing irritation, muscle tension increases, you may experience pain, a low buzz in your nervous system, you can feel tingly, itchy, inflamed, negative rumination, trouble focusing on things other than stimuli. I was already at that point before we left the hotel to go to the concert. I had hives all over my lower half of my face and my chest, and I was trying to just stay within myself. I wasn't really talking much to Jose, and then when we got to the venue, I was, like I said, expressing like verbal irritation. I looked pissed off. And the third stage is neuroangst. So stimuli feel so intense it cannot be ignored. Possible catatonia. Muscles crave deep pressure. You feel panicked, trapped in your body, pulsing pain in your nervous system. You may dissociate to cope, racing negative thoughts. Meltdown is avoidable if de-escalation is possible. Stage 4 is neuroanguish. So the stimuli is unbearable. You may writhe in pain or have prolonged catatonia. Migraine, you could feel nauseous. You might want to crawl into a hole. Your nervous system is pulsating in excruciating agony. Dissociation is difficult, and your thoughts may turn harmful towards yourself or others, and a meltdown is imminent. The 5th stage is neuroblaze. Stimuli cross an indescribable threshold. So you're melting down, shutting down. You cannot make sense of anything. Complete executive dysfunction. Nervous system feels like it's on fire. Your brain is like scrambled eggs. Your thoughts are jumbled and race too fast to comprehend. You may faint or get physically sick. I think when I was at my the height of my meltdown and overstimulation, I was like a 4.5. And then stage 6 is neuro recovery. So you need ample time to wind down. You're hypersensitive to stimuli. Your nervous system still feels dysregulated. You feel wounded, depleted. You might have incoherent thoughts. And this may lead to hyperanalysis. And you can cycle through meltdowns if another stimuli interrupts this recovery. So yeah, what can further you into the overstimulation is the unmet needs, right? Like, and then what can get you out of the overstimulation is accommodating those needs. So what did I do to accommodate my needs? I left. I thought that that was a really great infographic to kind of, you know, break things down. But again, I wanted to highlight my experience, to say that this happens and this is what we experience. And some autistic people love concerts, and I can see why. I can see that people enjoy feeling the vibration in their body. I can see that people enjoy to stim freely, to like dance and scream and like not be judged. But for me, it is just too much, too much. But I just wanted to highlight that because I don't know, I'm obviously not like actively sharing about these things consistently in my life. And so I think that that's why it's easy for people to judge quote unquote high functioning, I hate that label, autistic adults, is because they're not with us all of the time. They don't see these snippets and they don't see the highlight reel of meltdowns and struggles. So yeah, I just wanted to share my experience and share that infographic that I came across. And I just wanted to, you know, give some updates on my life, what's been going on, why I've been MIA for 7 months. And hopefully I can continue putting some episodes out and finish out season 2. If you hear my cat meowing. But yeah, I don't know how consistently I'll be able to put episodes out. I'm hoping I can do it on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, and I'm hoping to put out maybe another 10 to 12 episodes, but I'm gonna kind of give myself a little bit of grace and have more flexibility and freedom with this. So episodes might be released on like an as needed or as completed basis, I should say. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and then I will talk to you guys next time. Stay curious.